We have the Drowners. They've just released a brand new single, their sophomore release, I believe. Hugo and
Tom
in the studio.
It's definitely a pleasure.
Let's start off, I guess, with the title, The French Exit. I was reading a couple of things in the press release and some other things, but maybe you can talk a little bit about what a French exit is.
Well, a French exit, otherwise known as an Irish goodbye or smoke bombing, it's basically just like leaving a party or something without saying goodbye. And so, like, the original, it took a while for the song to come together. It took actually so long. I spent months hating it. But then once I kind of learned that phrase and I realized, we immediately were just like, that should be the title. Because it kind of what was the song was about already. And then the whole thing came together and I stopped hating it. But it's basically just, it's exiting without saying goodbye. And it sort of becomes like a strange, like, scaffold for kind of a love song. Like, it's like a really antisocial love song. Like, you don't want to be around anything else.
They're very COVID conscious.
It should be called 6 feet apart and 6 feet under.
Yeah. I guess when I was first listening to the song, the first thing that it kind of evoked for me was walking into a party and instead of being the center of attention, you go towards the walls. You kind of move away from everything. Is there that sort of introspection that you don't want to be the focus of the attention and you just kind of are on the peripheries, or...
What, Hugo?
For anyone who's seen the Drowners perform live, they'll know that Hugo is not one to skimp on vying for attention.
Oh, I don't think you... Do you know what the point of Perks Being Wallflower is about?
All I know is that I'm... Wait, fuck, what's his name? No, sorry, no swearing. I was about to say that I'm the actress who played Hermione?
Yeah.
But I forgot her
Emma
name.
Watson.
Emma Watson. I'm Emma Watson.
Yeah, for listeners at home, it's basically like we have Emma Watson in the studio, but this is their voice right now. So, the Drowners, how did it all begin?
Yeah, well, you came over and started jamming with my roommate, Fraser, our amazing drummer, and...
You sort of joined by Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, you
eventually
just didn't leave the shed.
I was around so much that you sort of convinced yourself that you actually liked being around
him. Yeah, true. Yeah,
that's kind of how it happened.
That was a big part of it.
Yeah, well, it was sort of the revived corpse of Montana Wild Hack is what I would call it. because great shoegaze band that they were all in, and then Tobin and Leah, who front that band, moved away. You know, ruined it all by falling in love and getting jobs
and
like having
too.
Life to live, which is not really
life.
A burden that's placed on the rest of us. And then I just sort of picked up the pieces and just sort of said, come along. Let's
from the ashes we shall create a Britpop fan club
and
band.
We've got nothing better to do. It's the first lockdown. What else?
The Gallaghers rise like a phoenix. We were walking along here, you know, trying to, like, shake off the nerves. And we were walking by one of those, like, tasteless cafes down Beaufort Street. And they were just blasting Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis. And I was like, this is a sign.
Yeah. The Gallagher brothers are looking down on us right now.
Interesting tidbit I saw just the other day. Noel Gallagher said that if World War III breaks out, he would, quote, buy a gun and get involved.
I feel like you shouldn't be taking any advice from either of the Gallagher brothers, but... I don't know. Do you align more closely with Liam or Noel?
I do start a lot of soccer riots, so probably Liam.
And you, Tom?
And you...
None.
Neither.
Let's get off this topic. Let's.
While we're still on sort of the inspiration and the styles, dark synths. It's a brooding track. Where do you go with the inspiration? Like, do you start at the beginning and go, here's a synth, or is it more of an emotion that you're trying to capture?
This is why I take offence that you saying it was a shit song before.
No. I'm going to qualify that. But you.
So Tom, it all began with Tom, actually.
Yeah, he wrote the first synth bit.
Yeah, I had like just a demo on my laptop that was just like a Blanted Cure ripoff. And Hugo fired it and turned into sci-fi Lana Del Rey. Is that.
Yeah. There was a point when I started to actually like it where I said. It's because the music was always great. But just for a very long time, I was just writing crap over it. Like, I just couldn't write anything good. And I felt really kind of guilty because I'd been, like, Tom had given me this great idea of this sort of, like, sort of plain song-esque Cure kind of thing. And I just wasn't coming up with anything.
You were actually letting him down.
Yeah. I was letting him down. I was letting him down.
But that's what good bandmates are all about, you know? You struggle together. And you find the gold, and I feel like that's what you've done with this single. You've really found it together.
It was at the same time as sort of thinking about coming, like finding out about the French Exit thing and just sort of realizing that should be the title. And then there's this great song by The Apartments called No Song, No Spell, No Madrigal. And I was just listening to that, and I loved that song so much. And then I was just kind of had this inspiration, and I was just took it to the band, and I was like, what the rhythm section is doing is exactly what you guys should just do under this. And then it should, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of start being a bit of a musical magpie, just like stealing.
Totally
just ripping from different little places. Yeah. And then sort of like building from this core of this great idea.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe it took me kind of editing and writing over it a bit to sort of understand where to go with it.
Mm.
Like, you kind of have to be involved in the compositional side a little bit more. I find, like, as a singer, like, if you just get given a whole piece of music, even if you know it's really good, it's just very difficult to just spin your thing over it.
Mm-mm-mm.
Spin your web.
You have to somehow find a way to connect with the music as well and, like, find out what the song is asking for itself.
Mm. And it asks for brooding. It asks for...
It asks to leave the party.
Oh, yeah. The song actually asked me to leave. And I mercifully do for the last minute. But there was a point when it was coming together and I was loving it. And I just, you know, you kind of get like a little bit manic and you start like shouting references.
Mm.
At one point I was like, it's like if Frank Sinatra fronted The Cure. And then Fraser, our drummer, just deadpanned, goes, you've got to give the people what they want. And just looks so unconvinced by the whole endeavour.
And what was the recording kind of experience like?
Terrible.
Second song,
Jeremy Siegel. Two words.
Yeah.
Just trying desperately to salvage these sessions. And just re-recording it endlessly. And he hates doing vocals with me. I'm a punisher. And then you just, like, take 20. And I was like, I'll get it right. And he's like, please stop, Hugo. It's all sounding the same, except you're just hoarse now. You sound just like an old Czech woman who's been smoking her whole life because you've just done so many vocal takes. It just needs to stop.
Stop the madness.
Yeah.
I guess it has stopped. And the single is out. You've got the launch coming up. Soon? 31st?
31st of March at the Bird with Body Horrors, Blue Honey and Zora.
Awesome.
Very exciting.
Mm. Yeah, it should be fun.
You've been tuned in to RTR FM 92.1. Drowners in the studio.